Fire, what are you saying?
Yes, I give thanks a lot. Fire, keep it awesome, man.
Seriously. We are here again, Ballhead and the Dread Podcast. Fire, we have to remind the people before we get into this reasoning that make sure you check out my Brethren EP there, Disrupting the Status Quo, there in the description. Also, Generation Gap Rhythm, they are running hard. Tunes from the One, R. Tarchi, Muda Bruka, Luton Fire, Aimaru Tafari. Also, remember all about Chant Down Baltimore, June 25th. The date is getting near, so make sure you are there. If you're not there, make sure you tell a one. I know you know somebody in Maryland or D.C. Make sure they pass through. You have to give in a donation to get in, not going around the thing. Yes, it's free, but you have to bring a donation to get in. For a list of the things needed or things we're looking for to be donated, go on chantdownbaltimore.com. Live on stage, you want Freddie McGregor, Iba Mar, R. Tarchi, Profi, Sanction Deer with the Naya Bingi Sounds, and the great Jerry Harris. Fire, what we're reasoning about today?
Yes, we are reasoning about the many faces of white supremacy. And I got to look from a different couple of different angles, because it seemed to me like white supremacy in America is a thing we continuously evolve, and it has so much different attributes towards it, where it's like it is a thing we really misunderstood, you know? So we really want to dig into it and show the people them some reasoning and many different angles towards that.
Well, for those unaware, on May 14th this year, there was a mass shooting, some call it terrorist shooting, whatever you want to call it, though, there in Buffalo, New York, at Tops Friendly Market by a young man, a white man called Peyton S. How do you say his last name? Gingrin or Gingrin?
Why am I name it relatively important to him?
Well, the bridge near. Hey, well, I want to say this first off, right? This young man kind of smart at the end of the day. I just want to start with that before we get into the full reason, because either he's smart or the person that sent him there is smart. Reason being is this. First of all, the man drove a decent hike to get to this particular area, right? Man doesn't live in that area. It's predominantly Black community there in Buffalo, New York. The man went there knowing the response he would get, because when I heard about the thing, I'm not a newsman too tough, but this one caught my attention. And I saw a clip of him being arrested. And I said that summed up the whole picture. If anybody want to know about racism, if everyone want to know about racism and white supremacy in America, just pay attention to the whole arrest film. Now, I can speak for me personally. I can rob a Sprite from a gas station fire and probably get a bullet in my head, truth be told, depending on what neighborhood I'm in. And all reality, especially if police are Fox. There. Fox. I'm going to get roughed up at least fire. Like, all my arm on my shoulders. I'll pop up my shoulders and all that when he roughed me up. So I don't think there's too many what the system would consider illegal activities where I would just be able to sit there and I'm just literally chilling fire. Like, because I was looking at the man's face. I said, BC, the man, I know, you know, mark on his face, eye not swollen, eye socket not broken, nothing. He just there. But the reason I said the bridge is smart, because if you think about it, he's aware that the people who police that area are not from that area. So they're not internalizing this as like a bridge being killed or a member of the community. For them, it's just a job where they just disregard. I'm not going to go into the thing to say the police force was pleased with the killing. No, I'm not going to say that. But in regards to that empathy you would have if you are from the community, you were really connected to the community, these people are really your people, I feel a rage would be displayed on that type of atrocity. A bridge brought to my attention a couple weeks ago where Dave Chappelle, the comedian, was attacked on stage. This is a comedian fire, but the people who are around him care for his safety. And that's their job to protect, so hence they react. You know, and I know the police can't go kill a man, but I'm pretty sure if it was some melanin in that skin, the arrest wouldn't have been as peaceful. Let's put it like that.
See, when enough people overstand is America, go be America, you know. Because I think a lot of people are trying to go around the fact that white supremacy exists, white privilege exists. All of these things exist. Let them try to tell us it's a thing of the past. But what we really try to overstand is, why aren't none of these, because I see the news, and why aren't none of these news media calling it what it is? Oh, the suspect, the suspect, the suspect. Oh, we hear. So it seems like terrorism always come into play, or the term terrorism always come into play when it don't have to do nothing with the white people. Because the fact that, you know, if it was a person who was not white, you're like, you're this act of terror, but the news media them just step on this suspect thing. And we have to realize the terminologies there, what I'm using, you know, because whether we like it or not, you know, yeah, the black people, a lot of black people and a lot of people in our various communities are fight against themselves, are kill off themselves. But when we say act of terrorists from white people, it always look to be something where in a colossal type of way. It have to be something big, something really will stand out, something like this. Yeah, this version is not a normal version into, you know, because, and it's not unique. Let me make sure I put it out here. It's nothing unique, because we see Dylann Roof a couple of years ago, who actually carry out a similar act and was treated in the same exact way. Them even stopped bringing him go McDonald's so him could have can get food. I know this person now commit an act of terror and get treated in a social way. But I don't really get why people surprised by this. It's like people always want America to be this nice country where it black people want that. It's like black people, oh no, I'm so surprised, I'm so shocked. Why are all of these, you know? It not make sense to me.
It's a sense of denial that people live with, not accepting the truth, right? Uh-huh. And also, I wanted to touch on, at least this time, Fire, they didn't go with the mental health vibe. So at least I was pleased with that. They didn't cry and say a mental health issue. Obviously, there's some mental health issue, but they just write it off as this person's mentally ill and disregard everything else, right?
Remember, them tried that with Dylann Roof, and Dylann Roof tell them, say, no, not at all, you know. If you put me as being mentally ill, you know, that means say you're disrespecting my act, because that are the thing, you know, these white supremacists are very bold, you know. So you see, if you see this whole mental health thing, you realize it start up on a decline when them carry out certain act, because them want to make you know straight, say, no, my intention is to get rid of black people. My intention is to show my hate when me have and this DNA me have for these set of people, you know. So don't try to paint me as a mental illness, because that now I gotta deter my whole mission and my whole reputation towards each of these people. And there is one thing, you know, I can't tell that me can't say it, you know. When there is say you wouldn't go also say the police did glad say or glad say this thing take place. I would have said that. I will say that bold the fire. I will say that, and I have reason and justification to say that in a fire. Say the police department, the Buffalo Police Department, along with a lot of different police departments, because we know say these people are like some Ku Klux Klans, but them have on uniform. Because we know how the hatred where them have for the community. I know the community have hatred, black community have hatred for themselves, you know. I will say, I'm gonna make sure I put that out there, you know. But as it relates to the police departments in America, almost 66,000 or whatever police department they might have, them have hatred towards the people them, and if them don't carry out the act of hate themselves, they are very, very, very happy whenever a white supremacist carry out that act for them. So I would go and say that straight and bold and plain, because there are reasons and there are justification for that statement.
Well, Fire, I'll just say, I can't generalize and say all fire. That's the only reason I didn't say it. So I just got to clarify to say all. There are many members of the thing there that's on a white supremacist racist vibe, but not all fire.
No, the department, you know, not every
department police, collective, you know, I have to
use. But the department itself, because it shows in a different ways again. Just like, for example, when the sister tell us, say, all right, she called the police department, police are filed a complaint, and them know say act of terrorism in place, and the girl are whisper because her life is in danger and the killer is right there, and them tell her, so why she's whispering, hang up the phone. And then now this, you see, you said this dispatcher gone on administrative leave and all of these things. I just don't get all of these things, because if the proof is there right off the top, that person will have to get fired and probably some possible charges. Because, and these things always say over and over and over again, the police with all the resources where they have, don't care when it's time for the life of black people at all, because them want black people to die. We see that over and over again.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because they want black people to die and black people want themselves to die, right? Check this fire. I just want to go back in regards to white supremacy, another example in the media, right? Please remember though, the media that's there controls the narrative. And it's very important that they use certain words to kind of keep this superiority complex running, right? Therefore, that's why we'll have suspect. I noticed they're not showing his face that much. Cause what I noticed with, especially when white people do something out just crazy like this, they don't usually, they try not to use their name that much. They don't refer to him as a white person and they definitely don't show their picture. Now, on the other hand, with black men, I can speak about two examples. I remember clearly, very disturbing. I remember years ago, a guy in New Jersey was caught on a house cam. He broke into a house. He was smacking up a white lady in front of a kid. In fact, they would replay that over. In fact, they was already playing that on SportsCenter from what I remember, right? Then there was another thing that took place with an ex-football player. Same thing, that domestic thing. See, you see when, especially the domestic with the black man beating up the white woman. That one and another one, fire. You remember in the 80s when they used the guy as like for prison reform, like he broke out of prison to rape somebody. I forgot, it's Willie something, Willie whatever. They used another guy recently like that, this dude in Philly. You know, he had a shootout with the police. And they just kept showing his picture. They kept showing his picture and referring to him as a black man. And it's purposely done because you have to do anything to dehumanize the person you're oppressing. And people don't want to understand. And we have media outlets, whether you say big or small, but we don't do any propaganda that's beneficial for us. We actually put fuel to the fire by demeaning our own selves and focusing on futile topics and putting ourselves down. So it's like you have the white media doing it and we have our media doing it. And we wonder why we had a perception that we do. I just want to cut to another area in regards to this white supremacy thing. I just need to bring this up so I tell you the statistics properly. First off, if anyone is unaware, make sure you get this book here, Iceman Inheritance. If you want to understand about white supremacy and white people, this is a great book here by a Bridgman called Michael Bradley. I'm not even sure if the book is circulating like that because this one here is more precious than gold. But check it out, Iceman Inheritance. Take your time and read it, fire. I mean, you must read this to get a clear understanding of how people conduct themselves. Now, what I wanted to say in regards to misconceptions and the power of the media, for those who are unaware, right, are most arrests for violent crimes are by white people, right? White people doing violent crimes. Majority of arrests by black people are non-violent crimes. Prisons are filled with people for non-violent crimes. It makes sense. You're in a low-income area. Ignorance is high, unfortunately. People are uneducated about the law system. Fear is a big impact. And people don't have resources for a lawyer. You're dependent on a district attorney. Majority of these cases are done through a plea bargain, intimidation, scare tactics to keep the numbers high. So that's kind of the justification for the high number of blacks. But majority of violent arrests, violent crimes in America are done by white Americans, specifically white men, right? And it kind of trumps this notion that because black people really should be fearful historically of white people, but they play this game. I was walking in Philly the other day, this dude crossed the street and I was dying laughing. Like I was walking at a break during work and this dude crossed the street. I thought that was odd. And also majority of unmarried births are by white women. We have this welfare woman thing and all this, and it's not the case. The white household is not in place like you would think. Number one recipient of welfare is white people. This is a fact I found disturbing. So this is the thing, right? In regards to reading proficiency at fourth grade, we have 46% of white kids are proficient at fourth grade, right? Now, black children are 18%. And this is with systemic racism. And I'm not justifying the low performance, but it's not that bad based on all the things they have to go through, fire, in all reality. And who's to say that 46% is not bumped up? We all know how to manipulate and make statistics lie. But what I found very interesting is that in West Virginia, the gap is only 1%. Only 19% of eighth graders can read proficiently on their levels for white people. And for blacks, it's only 18%. I'm not sure why we don't highlight that statistic, right? So it's just a vibe where who controls the narrative, who controls the statistics that we think, who has the power to make sure we continue to hear certain things. So we need to be privy to these things, and we need to question certain things and stop accepting and internalizing as if white people are on some great heights and everything with them is perfect. That is not the case. And what I'm noticing, especially with white supremacists, is that they understand that. And you notice, I think they're throwing temper tantrums, especially white men. I see it as a temper tantrum vibe in the sense that for businesses to run, they can no longer play that game to keep that schism between blacks and whites by giving them somewhat of a little more privilege because they're unable to perform. And at the end of the day, capitalism trumps everything. So right now, by default, you have to use other people. Now, in managerial positions, yes, it may be a dominance, but in other positions, they're going to have to get who can perform. And I think white people are seeing that. And I think that's what people need to discuss in regards to seeing that this is the supremacy that they had that tight hold on for centuries is fading away. Because even their own white brethren would hire someone from what we refer to as an immigrant before their own white person out of basic economics and work ethic and doing a better job. So I think that's what's taking place and people need to see it. Like I feel white people are understanding more and more because they messed up. They truly messed up because they should have never gave people an opportunity fire. Yes, people could complain and say it's a little opportunity, but the little opportunities we've been getting, we've been excelling beyond words can explain. When you give black people, Latin people, you give people an opportunity fight, they're not playing around with it and they're doing a great job. And I don't think they could go back to the point where they don't give anyone an opportunity because there's not enough white people performing on the heights to keep the ball rolling.
Let's talk about this opportunity thing too. I remember saying, no, the way a lot of these opportunities come about even now is for cover up white supremacy. So, you know, this whole diversity thing, because this diversity thing is a whole plot for cover up white supremacy. Oh, there's a black man on the team. See, I'm hiring black people. I am hiring Latino and so on, so on, so on, so forth. I must realize a lot of these actions in America is like, them really want to carry out the agenda of white supremacy, but them want to shove it underneath the rug like it don't exist. So them do a lot of things for come in place. So in case you try to call them out on the act of white supremacy, then it can fly over a lot of people. But there I mentioned Virginia, and it's funny how you mentioned Virginia, because in my head, me connect a lot of things will take place towards this shooting too, you know, because the shooting is not even the whole point alone. You know? Like in Virginia recently, we see where the them and name a lot of the schools them are for the Confederate leaders, and one of the particular, I think, are the senators or somebody in the House of Representatives, I can't recall, she said them are preserve them history and so on and so forth. So yes, he say them blatant with it now, them not hide it in a certain ways, you know, but then yes, he said them are do it in a certain subtle form. So you find different ways where it show it face in the country. And yeah, for really, I say, wait, but this thing is very much connected, because me see the connection between Virginia naming them schools after Confederate leaders, just being an extension of the shooting where take place with this bridge in a Buffalo. Me connect that back to this capitalistic system where them create for divide the people, to ensure that them alone can be the ones that benefit in this quote-unquote free market. I start to put the dots them together and I realize, say, this thing is fully organized crime. It's not little crime where I take place and a little things where I take place. It's a full organized crime, a full scope, a full system in place were designed to make the thing stay like how it is right now and make a certain set of people depend on the decline and a certain people depend on the come up and the uprise, because the man them so smart that them can do all of these things and still get away with it and make it become like 9 days story, the way them all them set up them thing, because some people forget about the shooting already. And that is just the reality of what it is, because tomorrow some other news are going to come and it will take place at this, and tomorrow some news are going to come. And that's why sometimes sometimes when I hear the people them say, oh, I'm so surprised, I'm so shocked that this take place. It's not, I feel like at first my dad say, oh, them people are really shocked when so much of these atrocities take place. But then I start thinking about it and I say, I wonder if them shocked for true because them not really understand like why it take place first and foremost. So much things get thrown in front of them face that them can't recall the recent occurrence them will take place with some similar things. And then my next problem now is that black people in all of this seems like them forgiveness level start increase because one start tell us, oh, well, all right. You know, when me distinctly remember about the whole Dylan Roof situation when I'm going, I don't even remember if everybody recall the Dylan Roof who would go in a church, I think somewhere in Alabama, one of those states them down south, and shoot around nine black people in a church, him sitting at the church from the beginning of the service. My whole thing is that nobody don't realize that when I have a black church and when I don't really see white people like that. In the church, nobody don't realize that this man sitting in the church all this time.
Fire, and... fire. Listen, I'm gonna bring up this book again. Fire is one section in the book. I have it marked off here. If anybody want to know, look, page 35. Fire, my man writing my things. If you can see it, man, break down black people too nice, yo. Black people too nice, fire. This before the Christianity thing, fire. And my indigenous people down there from Jamaica, Skamaka, my Arawaks, my Tainos, and my Caribs. It just seemed like basic man on earth at a certain heights. Not originally. I know people were very violent early on, but when it got more socialized, but more common than people from Europe historically. Because especially when you mix that, when you mix the self-hate with the what you want to call that again, not the white supremacy. When you call it, not white supremacy, right? What about when black people kind of look down on themselves? Not self-hate, but it's another word I'm looking for. Inferiority complex. Now you have a superior being amongst you and you love that. To have a white man in church. Whether that white man on the ground crawling, the fact that he white is an honor for this man to be in your presence to even accept what you're doing. That's what it come down to. A white person accepting what he's doing, he wants to be around us. It's the greatest thing. And you go sprinkle that with some Christianity. Forgive this, forgive that. There's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, because once I said God is so good that he make black people and white people are unite under the same banner. That become the new narrative now. And but the main thing what really bother me about the whole thing still in the fire, like really and truly, is when we look upon the news, the same day this incident happened, you know, I can't remember how much years ago, but one thing will never forget out of my head. The people them just lose 9 people who grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers and auntie and uncle just lose 9 family members for 9 people at them church, them congregation, and the people them looking at the camera and tell us that them forgive him in a fire.
Nah, fire, that's the Christian. Nah, fire. You know that already, fire. That's the Christian sickness right there. It's a sickness.
Yeah, but it's a
full-blown sickness.
To my thought process still.
No, it's a full-blown sickness because what happened right now is that it's like they don't want to deal with life. So they just default into this thing that's not rational. Because first thing they're going to tell you is God's plan. Then they're going to tell you about forgiveness. But they themselves don't forgive their own family. But they want to forgive somebody with some own atrocity. Fire, I want to jump back to something real quick. That you brought up. I think it slipped my mind now, man. Continue your reason. Let me see if I could get it. It's something you said earlier, I wanted to jump. I know we kind of went past it. I was holding. I should have wrote it down. It was having to do with the media. Continue your reason. Let me see if we jump back.
Yeah, because when we really sit down and check it though, fire, it's a strange occurrence because when we think about forgiveness, fire, if I even time after time you can see a heal and you process something and then you forgive an individual, but right upon the spot, then and there, it's like the people them condition for no say, all right, I am white people tell me that I am subhuman. Okay, Yes, I'm subhuman. I have accepted this fact that I am subhuman. And they will, from time to time, come and create some form of purge, try to kill black people, which become a norm now to me. That is what me. That is what me internalize a statement there of forgiveness as, you know, you become so subhuman and so prone to white violence and white supremacy that automatically your only response is that we forgive them. We forgive them, and it's nothing else. You see what I say? But it's like a call to show black people. Say black people need to overstand this fire. When the ones them did have the Berlin Conference, seeing the scramble for Africa, now all of the nation them at the table never did see eye to eye in a fire. Them never rate nor like each other in a fire. Bismarck from Germany. Him think Leopold was a scum, you know. Him think Leopold was like a scum of the earth and him was nobody important. That Leopold write so many letters to Von Bismarck of Germany, and Bismarck said, no, Leopold is just trying to be over ambitious. What I want to tell you, say, the whole fact is that when the man them sit at the table and say them a split up Africa, even who hate each other, no, in this thing, say, the main objective is to take over Africa, colonize the people of Africa, colonize their resources, capture their resources, and when we capture them resources, all of the central powers in the world will be in Europe forever based upon the whole tendency and the whole mindset where them are come with. So if one of them say them have to eliminate petty prejudice, them have to eliminate disagreements. Black people have learned these things, you know. That's something we really need to learn and take away from them white people, like whenever they carry out them act of terror in a certain thing, you know. We need to take out, yeah, because your brother not agree with you upon this particular thing. It not mean say him supposed to just be an enemy. Yeah, we're not gonna agree, but the people have to realize that when it comes to a particular cause, we have to drop certain petty prejudice we have fire and certain mindset we have for the sake of becoming ultimate humans fire, because we feel like we get too contented with being subhuman. That's how I see it. I'm gonna talk it truth. We get too contented with being subhuman. Them tell we are subhuman and we not ourselves. I say, yeah, man, we are subhuman. Let us just, and the only way. Only way I take a true stance, I take our B, quote unquote, in a revolutionary, which is a reactionary form, I act against when somebody violate my rights, is when another subhuman violate my rights, then I going to take it up and I'm going to get to the streets and me I go attack him to certain manner, because me in a position where me is a subhuman and the only person who me dep on my level is another subhuman. No, that is garbage. I mean, I tell them straight. We have to get rid of the mindset. It don't make no sense.
Reality, man. I did learn this in regards to a difference in cultural relationships. I noticed that white people, the ones I've interacted, I can't speak for all people, the ones I've been exposed to, tend to put the mission above relationships. And black people now, we put our feelings or relationships above the mission. And that is something there we need to swap out. I remember what I wanted to say earlier when you're talking about the media, right? You know already what news fire is. There's only a certain amount of time and they cut to the everything. So people are truly overwhelmed with information, especially now, because not only do you have traditional news media, but with social media, they're not processing things fire. And not staying in a man heaven's well for too long. And when they do discuss it, it's just a regurgitation. They didn't like analyze the situation and reason it out. They're really regurgitating whatever the headline said, whatever someone said on a social media feed, whatever they said on the news, and they run with that. So if right now, I think it's even an easier time to indoctrinate and propagate people with information, specifically false information, because the whole filtering process of rationalizing stuff and thinking about stuff and analyzing stuff is just not there. Is download, regurgitate, forget. Maybe some things are in the subconscious and we keep it moving. So in a very dangerous time for the circulation of information, because people's ability to process stuff, rationalize stuff is at an all-time low. You know, so it's very disturbing, but that goes in the whole point in regards to just like sound bites. We spoke about it before, sound bites with sound bites with news. Well, this person said this about the event. well, this person said that about the event, and I guarantee you that's what you're going to hear people speaking about all day. You know, no one's going to look at it from a different angle. No one's going to delve deep into it because we just don't have time for that, right? So, people, we just ask that you yourself, once again, have no have no relationship to this book outside of you sharing you some solid information. Make sure you check out this one, Iceman Inheritance. But we just ask those that you know, within your time, just look at stuff and try to look at stuff from a different angle and different perspectives, right? And understand who's giving you the information, why they're giving you that information, and the purpose of them doing it. Who does it benefit, right? How do they talk about particular people? How do they present certain people? Because you can clearly, you don't have to do no great case study. You can literally go on YouTube and look at a crime of a Black person, look at a crime of a white person. Look how much time they show their face. Look how they speak about the person, the terminology that they use, the adjectives that they use about that particular person, right? And like how many times they show it. I remember one time I was, this was still in school. I used to get hurt a lot. I was in the training facility, whatever, like rehab. And something took place. I always just kept replaying it. Now, in instances like this, they may show the store, they may show a police car. Their B-roll is totally different when a white person does a particular crime. Even with domestic abuse, black on white, they don't care about the black on black domestic abuse. No one cares about that. But if a Black man were to be on tape hitting a white woman fire, constantly replay, they're like salivating when this happens because now, yes, we have something that's just, you know, solidify this narrative, and they keep replaying it, And we internalize it to the point that we're scared of each other, to the point that we have, some people just jump the gun. Really, people really have a negative view of Black people sometimes, their own people, your own people, just because, and you can't, when you understand, you can't even say that because the amount of stuff that they internalize over the years, you just got low on them, you know?
I'm going to say two things before the reasoning even conclude. In regards to what I said about the me a while ago too, and when one's real research, here is one major example where never left my brain too. A similar occurrence take place with a group of Black youths and a group of white youths. I'm never ever forget this out of my head. Because there are certain things that take place where you just can't forget it, especially if you think about it from a critical and a logical standpoint. A group of white youth beat down somebody, seen? And some college youth did beat down somebody and almost kill them. I think they mob a couple of youths and almost kill them. And then, the narrative and the headline was misguided teens. These misguided teens. People can go check it out same way. When you can go check it, you know, say it online, bunch of misguided teens. And then we say like, it was around 2 to 3 weeks later, in the same media, almost a similar occurrence take place with some Black youths, and them say a bunch of thugs. Seen? Them say a bunch of thugs. So may I say, what is the difference between this thing taking place? Actually, the white one was the occurrence with the white youth them was more violent, actually, because that person practically depend life support and them thing there. So may I say, and these youths are misguided teens as opposed to the Black youths who are a group bunch of thugs. And the headline are over and over, a bunch of thugs. So you see, them try to shoot these. It's like advertisement, and you know? I don't want them feel like it's not advertisement, you know? Because when you see a cigarette, it's a sort of advertisement, but do not smoke cigarette, you know. It already shown and written in the books of advertisements. Say, when them tell about cigarette, you know, it's supposed to stimulate your brain. Even them tell you don't smoke it, it stimulates your brain, knowing that the human brain is very curious and very interested about things that put them at risk at certain timing. So that cigarette advertisement that teller said don't smoke it actually will make more people want to try it and smoke for see what is in that whole thing we are going to lead towards them for them detriment. But in this same news media, it operates in a same particular way. There's a lot of codes of advertisement we realize the news media follow. And if we really look upon it deeply, that's how we will overstand it. We will check it from that particular angle. And then the last part, what we really want to talk about is we can't overlook this. This is something very, 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 very crucial. In this shooting that went recently, the brother the day before was at that same mall or that same particular spot, reasoning with one or two people about critical race theory. I don't want nobody overlook that in a fire. That is a wicked, wicked, wicked piece of thing, you know. Because time and time again, we see where all of these people are so interested about finding about black people's view and all of these topics, critical race theory. What do they think about the imbalance of power in America? What do you think white privilege exists? White people are very crucial and very keen into knowing what black people's thoughts are on this particular subject. And they're very, very educated on the whole formation of critical race theory. And they're very obsessed with critical race theory. So you see, whenever them carry out all of these acts, these things are very, very conscious. Just the fact that them can ignite a conversation of that nature and make the conversation of that nature take precedence in a calm manner, having a preconceived notion already, and then thinking about an act of terror where you have a carry on, knowing, say, you just get all of this information. You know how much that helped him in a film strategic doings the next day? Just knowing what these people think of critical race theory and how critical race theory impact doings and the movements of black people in America. So that's something where we really want people to sit down and think about and know how all of these acts were carried out, have a sense of consciousness where it's not normal.
And we recommend everyone still. Oh, also, I put the statistics that report I got the information from. I put it in the description, so make sure you check it out if you are interested to see the disparities in regards to people's use of government assistance, education, and crime, right? What else is there? Make sure you check out that book, Iceman Inheritance. Do remember, in the description, my brethren in there, our Tarchi EP, Disrupting the Status Quo. Make sure you check that one out. Generation Gap Rhythm there also. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you purchase the thing, right? Stream it. And do remember all about Chant Down Baltimore, June 25th there. Carroll Park, Baltimore, Maryland, live on stage. The one, Freddie McGregor, Ibamar, R. Tarchi, Jerry Harris, Profi. Benefit concert there for the homeless. You have to bring in an item to get in. It's free to enter, only with an item. If you don't have an item, they're not going to let you in. For the list of items we are looking for, please check it out on chantdownbaltimore.com. I put the link in the description. Encouraging everyone to read. Easy on the social media. Open your eyes. Just kind of sharpen up the blade. Can't be walking around here dull and foolish, you know?